Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's promise number one of the new covenant, and that's what we're talking about this month. That's our theme. It's one of the most important themes that any believer can talk about. It's what Jesus ushered in at his death. His death ratified this new covenant that was promised so long ago by the prophets. And it's found, this promise has found its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. So here's promise number one of this new covenant. This is Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. Says this, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. That's promise number one. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul alludes to this. He says, as he is defending his apostleship, you yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So in this new covenant, the Spirit of God writes something on our hearts and puts something in our minds that wasn't there before. Now, what is that? What laws is the writer of Hebrews referring to? I think most of us would assume that he is referring to the Ten Commandments. But that's not what he's talking about at all, is it, Richard?
No, not at all. Everybody knew those. So this had to be something new. And John, the Apostle John, gives us the answer in his first letter, chapter 3, verse 23. And all he's doing here is quoting Jesus. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us.
Pretty simple, isn't
pretty
it?
Pretty simple. Well, yeah. Impossible, but pretty simple.
Yes, yeah. I mean, he is putting faith in our hearts and minds, putting this trust relationship inside of us. He's putting love in our hearts. That supersedes the law. I mean, the law is, when you look at it, you realize that those Ten Commandments are really kind of a description of God or a description of what God is not. I mean, he's not an adulterer. He's not a murderer. He's not a thief. He doesn't covet as if he would need anything. God isn't like that at all. So that is just an extension of his character. And so he's saying he wants us to kind of mimic his character through those laws, but we really don't have what it takes to do that. We've been burdened down by sin. We've been burdened down by the philosophy of this world. We've been burdened down by the flesh and all of these things. They're obstacles, hindrances to us. So we needed something to happen on the inside, and that's what this new covenant is all about. It's an internal covenant in which the Spirit of God writes the laws of faith, hope, and love on our hearts, and he places that in our minds. That's what God is interested in as far as we're concerned, that we operate through faith, hope, and love. Now, that's when this Christian life gets exciting, when we see that faith is kind of a supernatural thing. It's something that is wrought about in us by the Spirit of God. He is the one that initiates. We respond. Faith is made complete. He anchors us to the hope that we have in the gospel. He ties us down. You know, in my life, I felt like I was drifting, you know, until I really came to that point of true belief in Jesus. I just felt like I was being moved here and there. Whatever came along, I was swept away in that current thing, Then something else would come and blow me in a different direction. And then something else would come and blow me somewhere else. I just felt like I was being moved around, that I really didn't have a choice in the matter. And then this gospel message came, and there was this anchoring of my soul to something solid, something just unmovable, unshakable, and that was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now as things kind of try to push and move me in one direction or another, I feel like I have something that is keeping me in place. And that something is really a someone,
yes,
named Jesus. Well, he's put that in my heart. That's what the Spirit of God has written inside of me. And that's what he writes inside of you. And then, of course, love. We had no earthly idea that God was love. Before we came to know Christ, we thought of him in all sorts of ways. He's this mean old ogre. He's vengeful. He just is waiting to punish. He's disappointed in us. He's sick at his stomach. He's just all of these things. And love wasn't one of those words we used to describe him. But when we came to know Christ, love was placed in our hearts, and we saw that God truly is love. That's how he responded to us. That's how he initiated to us. Now that's inside of us. That's what God's done. That's what this new covenant is all about. So if you're a believer in Christ, God has written something on your hearts. He has placed something in your minds. And what that is faith, hope, and love in Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. And that is basic gospel, friends. Thanks for joining us for this edition. Plenty of open lines want you to join us by phone. That's why we are on the air live. 1-800-677-9377. Your best opportunity to call and pose your question or discuss your particular life issue right now. 800-677-9377.
A reminder to our listeners, have a fantastic offer this month. It's a brand new Bible study resource called The New Covenant Journey. Richard spent a lot of time putting this together, and then our team kind of tweaked and edited and worked and worked. It's been almost a year in the making, and we are very excited about this resource. It's called The New Covenant Journey. It's the first in the Basic Gospel Study Series, and all of these resources are designed to connect you to the love of Jesus Christ. And when you're connected to the love of Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, you're in for a journey of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Nothing in this world can compare to that, being moved through life by the love of God.
Yes, indeed.
So take advantage of this. It's available for a gift of any amount this month, the Basic Gospel. We want to say thank you for your contribution, your prayers for this ministry, by sending you this brand new Bible study resource, A New Covenant Journey.
You can find a prominent link on the homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator to request yours and make your gift at 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Denver, Colorado, and talk with Kenny, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, how are we doing today?
We're doing super. How about you?
I'm doing super also. Thank you for asking. My thing is, you're talking about the statutes and the commandments. And one of the commandments is that you love others as you would yourself. My feeling about our life on earth, I'm saved. I know that I am just like anybody else. And to live my life, I look at it that it's better to give than to receive. And by therefore giving, you receive so much more. And to me, that's why I believe God said, Jesus said, that love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, if you give me 15 seconds before you start answering my question, I can get back to my radio and listen to what you got to say about that.
Okay, Kenny, we sure will give you that 15 seconds.
It should take only seven, Kenny, only seven.
That's right.
Okay, we'll see what we can do. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thanks for your call, Kenny. We certainly appreciate it. Well, he's exactly right. I mean, you know, we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But in this new covenant, God has actually placed a higher love in our hearts than that, and it's the love of Christ Jesus. And so when we really understand the love of Christ Jesus, we're going to extend love to others that is on the same level as Christ has loved us. And that's what he said in John chapter 13, that we are to love others as God in Christ has loved us. So he's raised the bar, and that's what he's placed in our hearts, not just, our self-love. If we would just take that old covenant law to heart, this world would be a better place. But God raises the bar and says, hey, I got something even better. And that's this, the love of Jesus Christ being placed in your hearts so that you can love others as Christ has loved you.
Yes.
Well, Kenny, we sure appreciate your great question today. Thanks for jumping on with us. Well, let's go to New Jersey and talk with Walter, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Walter.
Good afternoon, Pastor Bob. Good afternoon, sir. I'm sorry, I forget your name, sir. Where's the other gentleman there?
Well, it's Richard and Bob and Bob.
Okay, Richard, Bob, and Bob. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and greetings in Jesus' name.
Well, thank you.
I just simply want clarification because once I got saved 30-something odd years ago, he forgave me of my sins. Since that time, I have grown in the Lord little by little, what they call a sanctification process. In the interim, certainly I've, occasionally, less and less so, dropped the ball. I have sinned. And when I have sinned against a person, certainly I've asked forgiveness of that person, as I do with my wife almost daily. And I also ask the Lord for forgiveness of that sin. Clearly, I am not going to walk around thinking that somehow the Lord is, I know he knows my heart, and I know that I'm asking forgiveness, but I've heard you folks say on occasion, and I mean this with all due deference, that one ought not to ask God for forgiveness. Is that a correct assertion on your part, Pastor?
Well, Walter, let me just read a couple of passages to you, okay? And, everything that we're going to say is going to be in light of what the Word of God has to say. So Colossians 2:13-14, for example, Walter, Paul said this: when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. So there Paul says that God forgave us all our sins. Acts 10:43 says this: all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So, Walter, if you've received Jesus Christ, that's your testimony that you received him 30-something years ago. At that moment, you also received forgiveness of sins. And then in 1 John 2:12, he says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So that's a past tense. He's writing to believers. If you're a believer in Christ, you're a child of God. So when he says, I write to you, dear children, it is specifically directed towards you. And he writes this because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So Jesus shed his blood one time for all sin. And when we receive Jesus, we receive that forgiveness that he provided. So that begs the question, what should we do when we sin? Should we just be cavalier about it? Should we just ignore it? Should we just kind of sweep it under a carpet? Absolutely not. The Bible is very clear. Should we continue to sin so that grace may abound? And Paul says, no, not at all. That's not what this is about at all. We've been rescued from the dominion of sin and death. That was a horrible thing, and this gospel message has rescued us, has saved us from the penalty of sin, from the punishment of sin, from the power of sin, and eventually from the presence of sin. So there's this great rescue that has taken place by Jesus Christ himself. So as we grow in the Lord, as we grow in our understanding of his great love for us, as we grow in our knowledge of grace, we begin seeing sin for what it really is. I gave an illustration at our church service a couple of weeks ago. You know, sin is like cancer. I'm just going to equate the two. And no one would ever want to go back to cancer if they'd been healed of it, because they know how damaging cancer is. And they would be forever grateful to the one who healed them and saved them from cancer's ultimate consequence. That's what sin is. Sin's like cancer. It gnaws at us. It eats us. It destroys us. It does all of those things. But Jesus has rescued us from sin and death. And so when we understand that took grace, that's what grace did, we don't want to go back to it. We are so grateful. So when sin comes into our lives, when we submit to it, are we cavalier about it? Absolutely not. What do we do with it? Well, the first thing we do, because we're walking in truth, is we agree with God concerning that sin. We recognize it for what it is. And we also recognize what it did in the person's life that we sinned against. That's what is the horror of sin, is the fact that we chose to do something that brought harm and hurt and pain and all of those things into the life of another person. And so we say, Lord, I recognize that, and I know I missed the mark of love right then and there. Thank you that you forgave it. Thank you that you shed your blood, that Jesus Christ poured out his life and took the punishment for me so that I could be set free. Now I ask you and I trust you to move in my heart in such a way that love can cover that in this other person's life. Move me in such a way that love can pour out and be a blessing where just not too long ago I was nothing but, I wasn't a blessing.
Yeah.
I was a source of pain. I'm trusting you to do that. That's what the grace of God teaches us to do. So do we recognize when we sin? Absolutely. Confession to a believer is like breathing to a normal human being. We agree with God. That's what it means to walk in truth. And the Lord is joyful when we're walking in truth. If we deny our sin, it's just like an unbeliever who's saying that there's no such thing as sin. But that's not what believers are. We recognize the truth, but we also recognize the truth of what Jesus accomplished.
Right.
There are people who ask God to forgive them every day. What's God's answer?
Already did.
Already did. It's finished. Jesus shed his blood. Rejoice in that. Rest in it. That's the good news of the gospel.
Absolutely. Walter, hope you're listening and hope that has been a help to you. If you have further questions, hope you'll call again.
Well, let's go to Paul in Brooklyn, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Paul.
Hi, dear gentlemen. How are you? God bless. Hope you guys are blessed today. My question comes from Psalm 120, the latter part of that that chapter. I'm not quite understanding its full gist. I don't have a Bible. Plus, I'm blind, so I would not be able to read exactly. Just from what I can remember, it says something in the, that with sharp arrows from a warrior,
mm-hmm.
With clothing from a broom tree. that part of it.
Okay. Okay. So I'll just read it. I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him, and he answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How will he increase your punishment? You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. Is that what you're asking about?
Okay, well, yours has a different, it's read different from yours, and from what I've been listening to. I have the Bible on tape.
Yeah, okay.
And from the New King James. So yeah. It's clothing with from a broom tree.
Yeah, okay.
And that's what I was trying to clarify. What is, you know, what's that mean and what's the gist of it? I don't quite understand that.
Well, the writer here is referring to war, and in this psalm, he's comparing this warlike group of people with his own desire for peace, and because there's so much deceit, he talks about what the Lord will do because of that deceit, and that is a warlike discussion. It's sharp arrows and burning coals, or the way you describe it, from the broom tree. And those are references to both direct attack by arrows and also the indirect attack of sending fire arrows in to burn the roofs and the walls of cities so that the cities could be overrun. And then he talks about, in the last half of this, woe to me, for I sojourn in Meshech, for I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long as my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So this person wants to be home, apparently wants to be home in Israel, and is spread all over the place. I mean, the Meshech place is in Turkey, and Kedar is in the southern part of Israel. I mean, they're opposite directions from each other. So it's a statement of I'm spread all over the place, and these people who are deceitful keep wanting to start wars, and they're going to reap what they've sown, basically. That's what he's talking about, that God will bring to them what they've been bringing to other people.
Okay. All right. Reap what you sow, basically. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
Now, one quick thing.
Sure.
Can I? Okay. I was listening to the radio this morning. I'm not quite sure. When the priests go into the Holy of Holies, with bells on, that is to alarm God that he's in this place, or is coming into this place. He just can't just walk in. Now, is it also that he has a rope attached or tied to his feet?
That's what folks have said, that if he did not present the blood in the proper manner, if he touched the ark, for example, he might die. And if he died, no one would want to go in there and get him, so they would just drag him out. But, Paul, we're out of time. Let me put you on hold, and
okay,
we'll send you some more information about the ministry. You hang on.
Absolutely. I want to also remind you to be sure to check the website for information on our upcoming Bible conference, Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. That's June 19th through the 21st, and you'll find all the information. I sure hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity to get the information and become a part of this particular conference. Plenty of time to plan. You'll find the information at stand2014.net. Again, that's stand2014.net. Friends, also, supporting Basic Gospel is a lot more than just supporting a radio program. It's supporting the spread of the life-changing, liberating truth of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what you have a part in through your gifts to Basic Gospel. And in February, we're offering a new and exciting resource, our latest Bible study series called The New Covenant Journey, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You'll find it when you visit our website, basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828. That's 800-727-2828 between 9 and 6 Central Time. The New Covenant Journey Bible Study Series, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Also, if you'd like to review each day's broadcast or a particular call, join our email list by clicking subscribe in the upper menu at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.